previously on the Atypical Sports Show.
Have you seen the movie Notorious? Excellent. They talk about the rivalry. They touched on Tupac. And I hate to say, man, I got to blame Tupac for the fall of both of them.
Blame. I don't blame either of them.
No, I don't. I mean, like I said, I'm not sitting here thinking, hey, it is Tupac's fault and only his fault. You're right. It's just sad.
But wait till you see the Tupac movie, you'd be like, man, I can't believe that girl did that, dog. She's so dirty.
I can't believe Biggie was a reason for all these deaths.
Biggie, man, I was instigating this stuff.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Sports Radio Show.
Atypical.
Okay, this is Elvis 21. That is so weird.
They speak very fast and very loud.
Atypical. Hey, yo, welcome to the Atypical Sports Show. What a rough.
Hi.
Man, today is a special day.
Why is it a special day?
Because we got some great announcements, man, that you're going to present to the world about the
Atypical Sports Show.
This typical sports show.
I love it.
And we got catered in today.
Oh, man.
How you liking it?
Not like Gus's pizza.
No, oh, man.
A little bit better.
The commercial got us.
Man, that mini sirloin burger. That commercial's funny. Their marketing campaign that Jack in the Box has, very good. I'm not a Jack in the Box fan, dog. I like the sourdough burger.
You can't lie to me, dog. I went to college with you.
Dude.
Jumbo Jack with mustard and ketchup.
Let me hip you to something, brother. That was 16 years ago. Okay, so you have to realize that things have changed in 18 years. Okay, things have changed in 18 years. I ate that because I had a dollar in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was trying to get a 99-cent Jumbo Jack. So their commercials are funny.
Hilarious.
I mean, especially when he rips off his shirt, you know, and he's like showing his muscles. I think that's funny. Wow. That is really funny. Mike likes to put those arbitrary beeps in there, so it sounds like I said something bad, but it is really, I didn't say anything bad. He's just crazy. So, but those commercials are funny. So right now, what are we doing right now, Key?
I'm grubbing. I'm putting the ketchup on the fry. How are you rating the meal? I mean, because the term sirloin make you feel like, you. And you know what? I think it's better than their average meat.
It is an upgrade in the meat.
And you know what it did it? The grilled onions.
I actually haven't had one with the grilled onions yet. I just had one that just had the meat and cheese. And I'm going to be darn.
Wait, time out. They got different kinds?
Oh, I didn't get one with grilled onions on it. No, that's fine. But what I'm saying to you is when you have sliders at a sports bar and then you have them at Jack in the Box, it's all based on the curve. I would give this, as far as fast food burger meat, I would give it like, 7.5.
You know what, though? Here's the difference. The amount we paid now would have been one serving if we were at the sports bar.
True. I mean, there's a give and take, obviously. Yeah. But I would rather, you know me, we've already discussed my pickiness when it comes to food. I like the sliders. Here, I mean, first of all, I wasn't really hungry like I should be. Like, if I was really hungry, maybe it just tastes different, you know? But I wasn't really, really hungry. So the mini sirloin burgers, I would give them a 7.5. What do you give them?
I give them an 11. I'm so hungry. I was waiting for this. I texted Mike. I said, Mike, man, what we gonna eat today in the studio today?
Man, you sound like Biggie right now. You know how Biggie sound like he had food in his mouth? All time, he's like, it's money, no problems. Man. You know what I'm saying? Money, more problems.
My boy O got mooped out.
Pac ain't nothing but messing with fate.
You sounded like Mike, actually.
Pac, that's Mike. That's Mike. That's Big. Mike. That notorious M.I.K.
You like him, Mike? Well, nine. Surprisingly, man, if you would have.
What? They're not sliders.
They're not sliders. They're slider minis. You saw the commercial. They had those little cowboys.
Dude, why did they have those cowboys and they was over there singing with them? That's classic. That's funny, man.
Hilarious.
So, but I mean, Mike giving him a 9. Mike was born in a fast food restaurant. He was conceived in a Jumbo Jack parking lot. He likes that. I mean, what? Why are you looking at me crazy right now,
dude? I've been listening to the shows, and you are very stereotypical, man.
I'm just talking smack. But Mike, what I'm saying to you is I'm trying to impress upon the audience that Mike eats fast food. Like, he would be a good,
first of all,
he would be a number one guy to ask about what's the best soda to get. You'd ask my boy Mike, producer Mike, you would ask him, hey dude, who has the best fast food? Everybody knows what they know.
Yeah,
that would be him. So it's not dissing. To me, the burger is like a 7. And regular McDonald's burger is like a 4 or 5. So I give this a 7.
Yeah.
So based upon what I think,
it's the best burger I have from a fast food restaurant in a long time.
It's the most realist tasting burger.
Hey, that's what it is.
It's the realist. It's as close as you can get to your house at a fast food place.
Yeah, just like it's the close.
But it scares me. Why? How much was it? How much was it? How much was Millie?
It's a $5 meal.
It's a $5 meal. Oh, I mean, you got a great. Okay, so if you're adding the price of the burger as well as what it tastes like, oh, it's a 9 because you're getting
three. Dude, that's what we did.
No,
that.
I wasn't taking that in consideration. I didn't pay for it, and I wasn't taking that in consideration apart the price. Dude, I just talked about the taste. You just asked me about the taste of it. Taste of it is like, you know. But the price added on with it, that makes a little difference. You get three quality fast food burgers.
The difference is you wasn't hungry. And talking about hunger, like you took a bite. You know, I wasn't even that hungry.
Maybe
you know
who? You know, Sirloin Burger.
There were some dudes that weren't hungry coming into this playoffs either. They weren't hungry, starving, thirsty for that championship.
And there's dudes there hungry now?
And there's some hungry dudes out there. I think the Boston Celtics is hungry, even though they just got fed. Their level of hungriness is almost more amazing than anybody else's hunger.
Man, Ray Allen's hungry.
Starving. And they act like they didn't win last year.
Yeah. Ray Allen, to me, and I was just talking to his brother last week. I was at the pool, and his brother was like, Ray Allen don't ever be coming through. I'm like,
wait,
dude,
two brothers at the pool?
Man,
well, who were you at?
Let me tell you something. There was five brothers at the pool. Let me tell you something. It was crazy. I didn't know what was going on. And I was last time I saw five brothers in front of the pool, I'll leave that alone. Because you know what you would do? You look at me crazy like, man, you're so offensive, dog. you're so stereotypical.
You really are, man. You always.
You know what? I don't care. I am borderline offensive.
I'm colorblind in 2009. You always bring up these race
because
issues.
Because it's funny to me, dude.
I'm the one that said two brothers in a pool, but then I put it on him. You're always bringing up these race issues.
I should never have told you I was at the pool. I set you up. Sorry. But no, this is too much. We were talking about Ray Allen. He was dissing Ray Allen like, I mean, Ray Allen don't ever come through in the clutch. And I was thinking last year he struggled in the first couple of games of the series, but he's hitting shots that you would not believe. They've had 6 games, 5 of them go into overtime. This is the 5th game today that went in overtime.
How many been to at least double overtime?
I think 2.
Incredible. And so I can't even count. You know, normally you look at a series like, you remember that time Ray Allen hit the 3 and got him in overtime?
Right.
How many times did it happen? Dude,
how many times did Paul Pierce hit game-winning shots? How many times is coming down late and coming to a foul shot?
Yeah.
So I'm like.
Or even those shots that's happening with 45 seconds left.
Dude,
Big Baby hitting a 15-footer. Like, most of the time, that's like background now.
Exactly.
But in normal watching the games during the playoffs, that would have been a big shot.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people making big shots.
That was just like, it's like you're expected to make it. And that's the whole mentality of Ray Allen. He got a ball today, dog. In the second overtime, they're down by 3. It might have been a 2-pointer, but he actually baited him like he wasn't going to shoot. And he just like kind of was lazy. And then he pulled it up all quick.
That's hunger.
Dude.
That's hunger.
I couldn't.
There's some
shot.
Hungry people on that court on that Boston-Chicago series. We're going to talk about that series, but we can't forget about the hunger and how thirsty other people's series are, or how thirsty they're not.
No. Okay, if you're talking about thirsty, then you got to go to the next one.
Is there a difference between hunger and thirsty when you go up for the NBA championship?
I think more thirsty is. Because
thirsty is more than hungry?
Because thirsty, you got to quench.
You die in a thirst.
You die in a thirst.
If you don't get water, you die.
You quench your thirst. You need to quench your thirst. If you don't, you die quicker.
Yeah, you can go to sleep hungry.
Right. You drink water for 5 days. You are right. That's why people do cleanses. They don't try not to eat for 5 days. You fine. But try not to drink. Go on a burger cleanse and try to eat a burger for 5 days and not drink water.
Yeah, so there's dudes that are thirsty, parched,
right,
hungry. Like Rob, I can have a little of one sirloin, and I don't know if it was onions on it or not.
Right, yeah. You don't want to be thirsty. Thirsty is when you really the hungriest.
Yeah. Who's the thirstiest person out of the, there's 16 teams times 12 people on the team.
Who should be?
So that's 160. That's 192 players are part of the playoffs. Is that about right?
Not anymore, though.
No, I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, there's only 2 teams that got eliminated.
Let's just talk about what you want to ask.
Who's the thirstiest?
Who's the thirstiest player?
Player.
Who do I think should be or who is?
Who is the thirstiest? Okay. Who out there, you look at him like, dang, get that brother some water now.
He's real thirsty.
Parched.
It's hard for me to separate who I think should be thirsty. But
thirsty. They're so thirsty, they're going to eat a Mike. Mike's the only person bringing 128 ounces of soda.
I don't understand how he got all that soda in that Gatorade, in that Gatorade tub. But the thirstiest person. Now, I might need a little more time to think because I got to analyze. I would say the thirstiest person right now, it looks like, just because it's fresh in my mind, it looked like Ray Allen. But I also think who else is semi.
No, he's hungry.
No. You know, because he maybe had his.
Because he won his.
Okay.
I think it's got to be LeBron.
But see, that's the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. That's why I asked you the question, is who I think should be thirsty? Because that's who I thought. If I had to look at the playoffs, who should be thirsty? Should better than be LeBron. But yeah. I think he is, though.
We just didn't see it. No, but they were so thirsty.
But I don't want to confuse my wanting him to win it, to my thirst for him to win it, with his thirst. Because I don't know. I know Kobe thirsty. Kobe thirsty bad.
Very thirsty.
And he should be more thirsty than LeBron, because he has to get this without Shaq for legitimacy, at least in the world of people who don't watch sports.
Let's try to help us figure it out, because this is how me and you normally talk.
Right.
We'll come up with something stupid like this and try to figure out, but you know, I have to analyze. You know what? Let's put it in compartments. Right. So let's go team by team.
Okay.
They'll have the most thirstiest person on the team, and then we can kind of narrow it down.
All right.
So we go out west. L.A. is definitely Kobe. Or is it Kobe? Is that automatic? Is anyone else thirsty on that team?
No, it's Kobe, dude.
Okay. Kobe. And then they beat Utah. We ain't going to talk about Houston. Him. So Houston, the thirstiest. Playing. I think Ron Artest is thirsty. Ron Artest.
With me, Ron Artest. After they won their first game, you said you'd never been on the floor with an opposing player who had scored 42 points, which Brandon Roy did. Yeah. And last game, Roy and Aldridge combined for 50. What's going on there?
Roy's probably the best player I've played against. To me, he's the best shooting guard. Not on defense now. Defense is kind of suspect. He's the best player I played against.
He's a better player than Kobe Bryant, a better player than LeBron James?
He's the best player I played against. Outside a guy from my hood in Queensbridge, a guy named Mike Chaffer. He went to jail a couple of years when he was 16, 15 years old. And he was the best player I played against, and now it's Roy.
No, I think if I could speak Chinese.
Y'all don't care.
No, y'all don't sleep on y'all, dude. He's intense. Y'all thirsty. Y'all thirsty, man.
See, you know what, though? Let's not even talk about them because they're not beating other thirst. So that was just a narrow
down. Right, okay, okay. All right.
So we don't have to. We don't want to waste our energy about that.
Chauncey Billups versus Dallas Mavericks.
He's thirsty. Ooh, the thirstiest Maverick.
Got to be Nowitzki.
Has to be.
And he's been
thirsty. The thirsty.
The thirsty. But he's been real thirsty. And I'll tell you who might be thirstier than him. George Karl.
Mark Cuban.
George Karl. Exactly. George Karl. You got to add them dudes in, because George Karl right now was close to having his job gone.
Yeah.
So he's thirsty. Yeah. He'd like to win some. But if it's Dirk Nowitzki. I have to pay Dirk Nowitzki out of those two teams.
You throw a ice cube on a fire pit, they're going to get some water out of it still. They're going to build that water so fast.
Who that?
Dire Thirst. The people we talking about.
I thought he was.
You talking about somebody in this room? Like Mike.
I thought you was trying to throw an ice cube. I was like, where's the ice cube at? Like, I love it. It was a good day. And,
the Lakers beat the Supersonics.
Hey, so that nailed it down. Dirk Nowitzki is the thirstiest.
Okay, who else in the West Coast? Portland ain't nobody thirsty. Actually, I think the thirstiest person is Bayless.
Dude, he might be thirsty. But we can't verify that.
We can't verify that.
Because I ain't seen him
but
on the court.
But he is not even. He thirsty to play.
He hungry.
Like, man, I'm hungry to get out there and shine.
Exactly.
And put my spot on this NBA level. Right. I got to prove myself.
Right. Okay, so.
I think we finished with the West. I think the champion was Kobe.
Kobe thirsty.
I wish Kobe's first name was like, Kobe was short for something. Like, his name was Kobe Stuff.
Kobayashi?
Something like that. Yeah, like.
Kobe!
Kobe'sfer or Kobe'son or you
let's
know
call him Kobet.
Kobet.
No, let's call him Kobe.
What about Kobe thirsty? Kobe chilling?
No, what about Kobethurst?
Kobethurst?
Kobethurst.
Kobethurst. Kobethurst Bryant.
Kobethurst Bryant.
I like that.
Kobethurst.
I like that.
Kobethurst. Because we got to make it like Kobethurst. Smooth. Kobethurst. Yeah. Kobethurst. So Kobethurst Bryant seems to be the most thirsty out of that.
Okay.
That name is subject to change. It's okay. But right now, we're doing Kobethurst.
We nicknaming dudes.
Close one.
Yeah.
That was close, dog. Kobethurst. So Kobethurst and on the East Conference, let's go that. So we got Atlanta and Miami. To me, this is the most thirstiest series though, right here.
This is a thirsty series.
I think this is more thirsty than Chicago. Not
because there's nobody that thirsty in Chicago. There's a lot of hungry guys.
Yes.
They're hungry to play. Right. But they're not thirsty for the championship.
No, they're not thirsty. Joe Johnson's thirsty. The cumulative effort of Atlanta is thirsty. Their team, Josh Smith, I don't care. He looked thirsty. Mm-hmm. He looked like he's thirsty.
I'll put it like this. The difference, I saw Mike shaking his head, but Mike, let me explain to you about the thirst of Chicago. If the Bulls, I don't want to say it, if they had some misfortune on Saturday, they would still feel like satisfied that, hey, it's, we made it to game seven.
Right.
So the thirst isn't there like, oh.
Right, right.
That's the difference.
Right. They pushed them. There would be a part. They would not.
Because they know they have next year.
Right. They wouldn't be. It's not like they wouldn't care they lost.
To refinish the cuppeth.
Yeah.
They look like they're playing to win. Boston looks like they're playing to not lose.
I don't think you've watched enough games to make that. But I have to say, Boston is balling right now. But the fact that Boston's still in this game and the matchups do not favor them as far as quickness, I Boston has heart right now. Boston showed me, to me, Boston showed me more than anything. They're older and they've played another extra game. Those guys have been playing three overtimes.
And that's
how many games have they played, actually? They probably played a 7 or 8 game series right now with how many overtimes they played.
It's definitely 7 games.
Definitely 7 games already. Yeah. It's already been 7 games.
So they playing the 8th game. We're going to name it the 8th game.
It has to be.
It's the 8th game of thirst.
And has to be. So who's the thirstiest team between those two teams? Who's the thirstiest player on that bracket right
Ray
there?
Ray Allen. Okay. No, Rondo's thirsty too, but he's not showing it. He's so cool.
Right.
You know, he's one of those dudes that look like he's in the, I was about to make a response that I was about to make a Rob response. So okay, I'm not going to go
job,
there.
Good job, Kimani. Thanks for pulling it back.
Pulled it back.
Okay, so
okay, East Coast though. See, like I said, we don't want to dwell.
Ray Allen.
I think so. Yeah,
okay, so that's who you're saying is the thirstiest out of both of those teams.
Okay.
Okay, Orlando? So runner up to me would be Ben Gordon. I don't know why, but I just what I think. He's just thirsty to me.
You're right. We never established the thirstiest Chicago Bull.
No,
Benny the Bull's thirsty.
Benny Bull. Ben Gordon to me looked thirsty.
No, I'm talking about the mascot, Benny the Bull.
I know.
Oh,
I just pretended like
Ben Wallace.
No, I just pretend like you didn't say
What's
that.
What's that brother's name? Ben Wallace?
No, I just pretend like you didn't say that.
Okay.
Ben Gordon.
Yeah,
so anyway, so Ben Gordon versus Ray Allen. Ray Allen's thirstier.
Okay.
So let's finish this up. So then we got Atlanta and Miami. Thirstiest.
Ooh, man, Dwayne, speaking of Chicago, that series, and I love that we brought this series up because we're going to get to the thirst, but what about the hard fouls they've been giving each other in that series?
That's real.
I mean, that's what I love about playoff basketball.
Right.
It's the difference. You know, a lot of people talking about, the 80s, they were so rougher. But we just realistically remember the playoffs of the 80s. Were they really that rough in the regular season?
Yes.
I don't remember watching that many games. We didn't have the opportunity to watch that many games because there weren't that many games on TV.
It wasn't that rough, but hard fouls were given.
True.
Man, the rules were
different.
That's all they preach is like no layups. Mm-hmm. That was the number one thing. Even the broadcasters were saying that in the 80s.
I don't really think Jordan was getting slammed to the ground in a regular season game.
Not as much.
That's the difference I'm trying to make.
More now than then. More than now.
But people are still getting thrown into the game on the ground now during the playoffs. It's a playoff basketball.
Right.
We just remember the playoff games from the 80s.
But the playoff game basketball back then was not even comparable to what it is right now. It's sick how much more physical they were.
I agree. It was more physical.
Dude, people would try to... Dude, you remember the fouls with the Lakers?
I agree. And those were all playoff games.
Right.
But the playoff games now are rougher than the regular season game. I'm not saying they're rougher than 80s.
They're rougher than
but I'm saying people are forgetting.
Yeah, it's
because all of our memories of the 80s is the playoffs.
Right.
We remember so much more regular season games because we have access to watch NBA TV, TNT, TBS. I didn't even have cable in the 80s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was watching channels with the antenna ears and the fuzzies. I didn't even know what the game really looked like.
Right.
That's why it was such a treat when you happened to go to the game or the game was on weekend channel 12.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, back then it was CBS, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Way back in the day.
Right.
But the point I was trying to make is basically I think there's a perception of things being softer nowadays, but I'm glad that this Dwayne Wade series and they're throwing people on the floor and people are fighting. Even with the Bulls series, did you see Salmon and Paul Pierce during the third overtime?
They were hitting each other's hands.
Like, get off me. I love that roughness.
I love it so much. Dude, like, that's
bringing it back.
I think that in every aspect, there's going to be some guys who get out of control and don't like the physicality, and there's guys getting each other's face because of pride. But, I mean, dude, trust the guys, man. Let guys learn their own lessons, please. This is like in everything in society, man. Stop trying to make the fall easy. Let people make mistakes. Let banks crumble. Let things just happen the way they're supposed to happen. Stop trying to control stuff so much. Let it happen. Guys regulate themselves. There will be fights. There will be guys that get kicked out. But you know what? Guys will stop getting kicked out. The guys will get fouled and they won't get kicked out.
You're right. You're going to learn your lesson like your kid. Touch that hot stove. He ain't going to touch that stove no more. And if that kid walk around and kiss a pig in the mouth, he ain't going to kiss the pig in the mouth. He gets swine flu.
Right.
Speaking of control, do you think the same rebel let banks crumble, let the country get sick on swine flu? Should we have control there?
No, I mean, well, hey, man, let me tell you something, dude.
I'm bringing it up.
Bring it up. Like, I really thought it was more of a joke before. I thought, like, okay, are they really trying to make something of it? And I'm like, no, they're really not going to do this. They're not going to try to make something of it. They're trying to make something of it. Man, everybody's talking about the swine flu. Everybody's talking about it. Let me tell you something. I'm glad you brought up about the swine flu, because I'm going to show you how crazy our world is right now. And what's happening in our world out there is kind of like the same thing, but not the war. I look at it like the Democratic version of the scare technique to get your mind off of what's going on.
Ditto.
And so it's not even the Republicans were using the war. The Democrats use this. And there's no difference between the parties. They just use different aspects to control you. Check this out, man. Everybody talk about swine flu. Like, this is really just going to take us over. This is the stats of swine flu as of April 30th of 2009. There's a total war in the United States of 109 cases. A total. But guess how many deaths there are, dude?
Three?
One.
Okay, how many human beings are there in Earth? 275 million?
No, in the United States?
Yeah, my bad.
For 315 million.
That's my Earth. Yeah, that's all I don't care about.
300 million.
Yeah, 300 million.
And there's 109 cases and one death of swine flu.
No, it's just, and this is, it just has a term. There was flus that were deadlier.
Can I just tell you this? 109 cases. I just want to say it again.
I know. there's just a term, and it's from a different country.
Right.
But last season, 60 people died of the regular flu by June.
Right.
You know, so the flu kills people. This one just happens to have a name. I'm saying, I'm not trying to.
Right.
I'm not trying to say that. No, I am trying to say this is being overexposed, because the flu kills elderly people and kids, and that's the victims that are happening right now. And you're right. I'm not afraid. Like you said, what did you say on your Facebook?
Dude, on the Facebook, I updated my Facebook and I told people I was going to go down to Mexico and kiss a pig right in his mouth and look in his face like Bernie Mac said, and said, I ain't scared of you, mother. Because I ain't scared of you, mud rubbers. Dog, listen.
They're mud rubbers.
Dog, I went to the my real estate class because I still have to renew my hours.
Mud rubbers. That was funny. Mud rubbers.
Okay, so I went to my real estate class on Wednesday because I had to renew my class. And actually, the professor, there was about 60 people in there. The professor says, well, you know, the other guy freshers out. He's sick. And he said, you know, that swine flu going around. And there was at least 10 people who kept talking about, yeah, man, I had a friend who got swine flu. And I had to stop. Everybody was like, do you guys realize that only one person in the world in the United States has died of that? Yeah, but you never know. You got to be careful. I was thinking about not even going out to the, you know, going out to the fair this weekend. Like, people were really actually talking about staying. You told me that Chuck's
daughter's
school closed.
Till May 8th. till May 8th. Dude, you're at work, we can't have food days. We can't have goodie days where people bring in food. They set up so many of those little portable
the disposable things to wipe your hands.
The hand sanitizers everywhere.
Dude.
Everywhere.
Is it like Gattaca?
And there's like memos from our corporate office that says there's no more business travel. If it's not a vital business reason,
right,
no one's getting on planes going anywhere in the country for our business.
Right. So can I get my prediction? So kind of like maybe later we can look at it. It's kind of like we predict who's going to win next year. What? Here's my prediction. This is what I think's happened. Okay. So I think the swine flu is something that it kind of the media jumps. Like the media just jumps on stuff. They just jump on because, you know, they're getting good ratings. Like they just go along with whatever, you know, information they're getting good ratings. But I think there's something going on legislatively.
They wagging a dog.
They wagging a dog. And whenever you have this stuff and then you look at the facts, if we really think about it, they have the same information we do.
More.
Why are they bringing this up like this is some pandemic? Why are they bringing this up? Like, you have to look at it. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. Why, Key?
Because they thirsty.
They thirsty.
They thirsty for approval ratings.
They thirsty
to get on top. Well, and you do anything when you that thirsty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You'll elbow
right
Sam Delbert right. in the face
right
when you that thirsty,
man. So we thirsty. They, who's thirsty though? Who's that thirsty?
I think when he hit his elbow, when he used that elbow, that showed.
No, I'm talking about who's the original. Who was you talking about when I was talking about? You said because they thirsty to get on top. Who was that?
Obama's administration.
Oh, okay. I get you. Okay, I feel you. They thirsty to stay on top.
To stay on top.
Like, okay, they might not be doing, the economy might be going to heck, but hey, we protected you from swine flu. Yeah. You ain't getting sick, dog. Yeah. We protected
they
you.
They thirsty for 2012, just like Boston's thirsty right. to get this next built.
Right.
Just because you won an election or you won a championship.
Don't mean you're preparing and you ain't thirsty to make it happen again.
I don't think George Bush the first was thirsty.
No, he wasn't. That's why he was out of office.
That's why he was out of office. Bill Clinton,
he was thirsty, and he was hungry too.
And he had a little bit too much of a thirst.
He had a thirst issue. And a hunger.
He had a thirst issue, you know. And it wasn't George Bush, George GW that was thirsty.
No, it was Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was thirsty. Yeah. He had enough thirst for both of them.
He was thirsty like your boy from that movie. I drink your milkshake.
What's that?
You seen that movie, man, about the oil dudes. My boy from, I can't think of the, There Will Be Blood.
Oh, I never saw that.
There Will Be Blood when he says, and he said, I take my straw and I go across the room.
It was so very interesting. Our own perspective, our worlds. Keek talk about a movie like it's Star Wars. He's like, you remember this line? I breathe.
No, dude.
And the milk comes out of the cow.
Mike,
that's that movie,
Mike,
Happy Days.
Mike, play the clip.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Don't bully me, Daniel.
Okay. Now you see how that sounds like Star Wars.
Did you think I believe you sound like Star Wars. My point was that
you pair the man.
You pick an obscure.
That's not obscure, brother. You've never heard that quote before?
I drink your milkshake.
Dude, I don't even know. But that's,
never.
This is why I do not
Michael, have
enjoy
you heard
this
that,
show
have
as
you
much.
Heard that
yes,
quote
he
before?
Heard this before.
I don't. I've heard of the movie, but would you, if somebody just gave you a random quote, how about this? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I drink your milkshake.
I've never heard of it.
I drink your milkshake.
Okay, so have you heard this line? I've never heard of it. It's from Red Dawn, from the movie Red Dawn, when the Russians captured him, and he's like, do you know Vika did it? And the dude, I don't know who was, he was like, I never heard of it. It's funny. So, like, that would be me bringing that up. I'm like, you don't remember that line?
Dude, you know
this
what,
dude
man?
Bring up a movie that we don't even
first
know.
Of all, first of all, it was nominated for the Academy Award. Dude won an Oscar.
So.
Okay. next. Let's go back to the original topic. The dude was thirsty. G.W. Bush wasn't thirsty. Dick Cheney was thirsty. Obama's administration is thirsty. And the swine flu is basically propaganda.
Okay, but the original, the athletic thirst that I think that we all...
We're talking about sports.
Right. We talk about that too. No, we talk about all that. But I'm saying, just taking back athletics real quick. You know who was the original thirst that would be willing to do anything?
Thirstbusters.
No. Who is a thirst quencher, the original thirst quencher, which is kind of ironic. Gatorade's your thirst quencher.
Mike. Tiger.
But who was the first thirst, though? Mike.
No, Mike, I know, but then Tiger's on that Gatorade,
right,
too.
Right,
yeah.
So the original thirst was Mike.
Yeah.
And you can see, if you guys check out our website, you can see the slam dunk competition between Michael and Dominique, which is the best slam dunk competition ever, because it was a 3-year thing in the making. First year, Dominique beat Mike. Right? Oh, he don't like that. Second year, Dominique was injured, Mike balled. Right?
Yeah.
Third year, Dominique and Mike are both healthy, and Mike wins.
No, Dominique didn't beat Mike. Mike was hurt. The first year.
The first year, Mike was hurt, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
Dominique never beat Mike. That's why I didn't like that.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. You're right. First year, Dominique was injured. Dominique was healthy. Mike was injured. Second year, Dominique was hurt. Mike won. Third year in Chicago, 1988,
Make the mic come out so clear.
And send Mike and Dominique. And that slam dunk competition was perhaps one of the greatest sports. It could probably be one of those things that is definitely, what's it called? It's generational, because at the time I was impressionable, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, he was everything. Mm-hmm. And that slam dunk competition in 1988.
Before we get deep into it, let me just mention that's why LeBron, only way his thirst will be to that level if he goes to the dunk contest next year. But obviously, I think we're going to agree LeBron's the most thirstiest out of the playoffs.
I drink. I still
think Kobe's thirsty.
Okay, and well, hopefully that thirst quenching contest will come in the finals.
Right,
and we'll bring this back up and see which one of them are the thirst busters.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But back about your Michael Jordan thing,
right?
Because you brought up the dunk contest, and it was funny how we are actually treating the dunk contest like it was a real championship, like, because
it
competition.
Was because it was back
because
then.
They set it up
because it was serious.
Yeah.
It was everybody were waiting for this. You don't understand, being that everybody was anticipating this happening when Jordan was injured, and then when Dominique was, everybody was upset, and everybody knew this slam dunk competition was in Chicago, and Jordan had already the year before jumped from the foul line. It's a wrap.
No,
never done it.
First of all, if we're going to talk about the one in Seattle, do not disrespect and overlook the rim.
Well, right, but I'm saying that's what saved it for him. Yes, the kiss the rim, to me, I remember that. That was in Seattle, hometown. I remember that clearly. The kiss the rim was like, okay, so
87?
87.
Okay.
So this is like, I was clarifying this to Keek.
Young dude. I was looking a little bit bigger than this guy right here.
Yes,
picture.
He was. So we'll put that picture on the website. So so I was telling Keek before that it's kind of like sporting events. To me, you got to give props to the originators, because I was telling them about this movie called What the Bleep. It's about quantum physics. Mm-hmm. And so it's about one of the aspects they were talking about is like
gravity breaking when Mike jumped over and leaned like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you never saw that
that's
before.
Physics, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like, what they were breaking down is, if reason why the originators are so incredible, because your mind's never seen it before. There was an aspect of this movie where the natives are looking out and Christopher Columbus is coming through, coming in a Santa Maria Pinta or whatever in the boats. They can't see the boat. The only reason why they know something's going on is because the waves are moving, the ripples are moving. They don't even see the boat because they have no point of reference for the boat.
So the only thing they noticed was the water.
The water,
and the
was
water
moving.
Was looking,
and
because
they
studied science so deep. Oh, like, yeah, this water shouldn't be moving.
It shouldn't
like
be moving like
moon.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. They know that. And so they're like, something's going on. What's going on? And all of a sudden, the boats appeared because it was in their vision. So that's what was sick about it, is because when I'm looking at this dunk Michael Jordan, my mind had never comprehended that. I have never thought anybody could even kiss the rim. I mean, the whole aspect, the way his body looked doing that, it changed my life, dog.
Life.
And so when he did that in Seattle, I was like, oh.
And that's before TiVo. And that's when I had a broke down VCR and I recorded it. And that tape broke.
Right.
I rewound it so
many
times.
I remember.
Because, you know, I was always one of those dudes that always wanted to be. I got this from my dad. We always wanted to have a little bit. Our technology wanted to be a step above. Like, we wanted to show off. Oh, check this out. I got the game on tape. People come over and check this out.
Me too.
I'm trying to see how this look like on TV, you know?
Yeah.
So we watch it over and over. Then you have one of those. Remember the VCRs with the tracking?
Yeah. And you know exactly how.
The tracking.
Just the tracking. Remember how good was that feeling when you got the tracking?
You
perfectly
got the tracking right here.
Yeah. Because you were so stressed out. Because sometimes the tracking just wouldn't work, and you know you'd have a fuzzy movie.
Oh, man.
But when you get that tracking right, you were like,
but you know how to clean those. You know how to clean those hands, right?
Huh?
You know how to clean those heads on the VCR?
Oh, okay, no.
When you put the rubbing alcohol on the tape.
Oh, dang, that works for that too?
Dude, yeah.
You that works for everything. You got to clean something, put rubbing alcohol on it.
Yeah, but back to the originators in the moment.
Okay, so the moment to me, so the fact my mind had never seen that. 87, Jordan kissed the rim. So the next year when him and Dominique go out at each other, I'm telling you, bro, it was even. And the only reason, I remember this so clearly, Dominique should have never got that 45. Jordan got the 47. No, who got the 47?
I'm not going to act like I knew. I know the scores.
Okay, Jordan. There was a
point.
Jordan did his. Jordan did his figure eight, and they gave him a 45.
What you call me?
What figure eight?
Okay,
he remembers figure eight. He gave that, and they slept on it because I thought that was one of his better dunks.
Yeah.
They gave him like a 45, and then Dominique came with this sick bounce off the rim,
and then it looked like a Pac-Man.
And they gave him a 47, and everybody's like, "Ooh!" And then that's when Jordan needed a 50 to win, and he went back and he did the long from there. But you notice that jump. he didn't jump from as far from the foul line.
No, I know he did it, but he cocked his head back and he put his hands out like that.
Exactly.
It was very freaky.
It was very freaky. But he didn't jump from as far.
It was still an original. I can tell you one thing.
He put the tape there the year before.
No one else could still do that dunk. I think now if you put your foot on the line and you jump, it's free throw line.
Right.
As long as your foot touching it, it's free throw line. It's kind of like soccer.
But in soccer,
you can be like out of bounds, but as long as your feet's in bounds.
But he put the tape there the year before.
Okay.
He put it, and I'm not taking anything from him.
But we know who the originator is.
Okay, Dr. J.
Okay, but whose was better?
David Thompson.
But whose was better, though? I don't care where they jump from.
Michael's was.
Oh, that's okay.
And it could be technical.
Thank you.
But you know what, though? If we would have saw it in 1970, whenever Michael Thompson, whenever he
looked at the water ripples.
And it was slow motion, and maybe we would have said, look how long Dr. J staying in the air.
That's true.
You know, it's like the technology of what we saw.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what do you think would have happened in the legacy of Jordan? What if Jordan would have missed that dunk? Like, what if Jordan would have missed a dunk, dominate, and he loses? Because, listen, let me tell you something.
You sound like Jadakiss right now.
No, let me tell you something. The reason why I'm saying that is because Jordan never lost.
I know. That's
the he lost 1 year.
To who?
Orlando. When he came back from the injury, when he came back from baseball, he came in the playoffs. Remember, he came in April.
Oh, I thought you meant the dunk contest.
No, no. He never lost in anything.
And then I thought you meant Orlando Woolridge. No. I was really confused. I said, he lost to Orlando Woolridge.
Or Scottie Pippen? That's how they got Scottie Pippen?
In the dunk contest.
Yeah. No, Jordan never lost in anything. He never lost.
Lost in the finals.
He never knew what it was like to lose.
Yeah.
Like, he never knew. That would have been a loss. Even in slam dunks, he didn't lose. So he's
Rob. Let's slow down. Okay, Detroit series, but I'm talking about in the finals. The reason why he was so thirsty was because the Detroit Pistons was putting it on him for two, three years.
But he never lost. I'm saying he never just lost a series. He never lost a championship somewhere.
I just had an out-of-body experience right then.
Right, with Detroit?
No, the way I slowed down and I slowed down my thoughts and I looked at us and I said, Rob, I don't know about that statement about him not losing. And then I got back in my body and I felt like I checked you, but I wish I didn't do that on the mic.
That's all right, though. That's all right, though. So,
when you have thoughts that you said, dang, why did I say that on the microphone? And then you don't even want to listen to the show the next day.
Oh,
you're so embarrassed.
That never happens. That happens. I don't know what you're talking about, Kimani. So anyway, man, we're going to close this first segment up. But coming back from the break, we got some exciting stuff to talk about. I got a big announcement to make.
Grande.
Mucho grande. And Keek has a couple things that he has prepared
for me. Many sliders information. But before we leave, I do want to touch on to the originators. We're going to go out to Jay-Z, the originators, who I think actually brought the Dos Effects biggity biggity.
Okay.
You remember the originators
back in the day? I remember that.
Check this out, y'all. People don't remember how my boy did it back in the day, his first song. Check it out.
Atypical Sports Show. We'll be right
y'all
back.
Y'all know me. I want you to write because you pay me all the rhymes. You stole for me. Need your freeze in a minute. You got to get in it. Breathing only when it lets no sweat. I settle the set with these. Stop thinking you're making it, son. I'm breaking and breaking and breaking your tongue. Don't get caught perpetrating the cool ones. Figuring bigger and better and better and baby. Let's face it. We be having flow and passing around.
Robin Key will be right back with more of the Atypical Sports Show.
What if you could get the benefits of a vitamin without the pills and feel the difference? Vima is that vitamin. Vima is a liquid multivitamin that creates abundant energy, shortens recovery time from workouts, and boosts your immune system. To order Vima or for more information, log on to www.vimaathletes.com. That's www.vimaathletes.com.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
What's up, world? Welcome to the Atypical Sports Show. This is your boy Key and this is Rob.
Yeah.
We're bringing it to y'all from our lungs to your eardrums. Once again, it's Fan Interaction Friday. And once again, we bringing back the word of the day. And once again, I'm going to mention that Rob's got some great announcements to complete this segment on this Friday. And
May 1st, first day of May.
Uno de Mayo.
Ooh.
You like that?
Oh, you are bilingual.
Bilingual, but this we're going to talk about the English language right now with the word of the day. Those horns right there, boy.
Give me that word of the day. Right.
Word of the day is mellifluous.
Could I have a spelling of that, please?
M-E-L-L-I-F-L-U-O-U-S.
Mellifluous?
Mellifluous. M-E-L-L-I-F-L-U-O-U-S.
Could you give me the Greek root meaning of that?
It's not a Greek word, but I can maybe use it in a sentence.
Okay. I don't feel too comfortable with you knowing how to pronounce the word correctly.
Dude, man, you think I know how to read how you pronounce words off a dictionary?
I'm not doubting that, but I'm talking
about... Okay, I'm going to fold it. Can you read it?
Say it again.
Well, why don't you say it then, you mellifluous one?
Oh, I think I have know what it means. Intelligent, no. Smart, handsome African-American male.
There you go again.
Okay.
Another segment can't mention that word.
I don't want to tell you guys, but I'm African-American. Mellifluous. I think that was pretty flawless. Let's see here.
Oh,
you say
sound
it.
Like I said it. Mellifluous.
Huh?
Mellifluous.
Uh-oh.
Mellifluous. The balladeer whose mellifluous voice serenaded two generations of lovers.
Okay. I would say mellifluous means...
The tones were
smooth.
Woo, you got it. You flowing as with honey, smooth.
Man.
Flowing sweetly or smoothly as a mellifluous voice. This is going to be a mellifluous segment. That was your word of the day. Rob, hit them up with a pod five because you got the definition
man,
right.
I got the definition
you got
right,
the
dude.
Pronunciation right. But you couldn't spell it.
I'm phonetically strong.
You was mellifluous with that.
Man, my freestyles are mellifluous.
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 Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And you know, I think Biggie might have been more mellifluous than Tupac. But that doesn't mean he's mellifluous, though. Who's the most mellifluous rapper?
I would have to say Candyman.
This rhymes, this time, is one of a kind. Blowing your mind like only the Candyman can. Like a heavyweight champ.
He was smooth, but that doesn't mean he has skill.
No, but he was smooth. Ooh, boy, I love you so.
What about High C?
No, he was not mellifluous. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't.
Like a puppet.
No, that's not smooth, dude. That was not smooth.
What about Guru?
Huh?
Guru.
Now that's mellifluous.
He's probably most mellifluous.
Yes,
and he's got skills. So we'll leave it with Guru. Word of the day.
Hold on, my skin feels mellifluous right now.
Oh, it's the actually it's amellifluous. You throw an A in front of it. It's atypically mellifluous.
Oh, okay. I heard that. All right, so we're going to go to the emails right now.
Oh, my favorite part of
my
day.
Email. The first email we have
right
now.
I'm thirsty for these emails.
You are. So the first email we have is from James in Tucson. And he says, can you guys in recent memory remember any playoff series being this intense as the Bulls Celtics? What does the win today mean for the Bulls as far as confidence, putting bad calls by refs behind them? Suns should take a lesson. If they hadn't cried about their player ejections for leaving the bench, maybe they could have actually beaten the Spurs. The Bulls.
Can I answer that?
Of course you can.
That's
your area.
Me.
Right.
Well, Bulls, Suns. Let's talk about the Bulls series. That victory, me and Rob knew was going game 7.
Can you get it done in 10 seconds?
No, I can't. Saturday is going to be a big day for us because we're going to watch that game. Me and you, you picked the Celtics, okay. I picked the Bulls game 7.
Right.
So our fates will be met.
Okay.
Couple things that I noticed with the Bulls series is, do you remember when Joakim Noah stole it from Pierce?
Right.
Took it to the hole, fouled Pierce out.
Right. Because
if Pierce was still in the game, somehow they would have won that game in the last 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And he dunked it and yoked it. It was just so much things going on. Brad Miller stepping up, hitting those free throws again in game 6.
Right.
Which he failed to do in game 5.
Right.
Derrick Rose very familiarly missing those two free throws.
Mm-hmm.
But we still won the game.
Right.
Because they gave him the ball back. We won by one.
Yeah, disagreeing with the James from Tucson. I mean, this playoff series has gone back and forth. It's
back
amazing.
And forth. So, to answer a question, just like we listened to the first segment, no. I do not remember.
No, I don't remember.
History.
Like, I don't remember at all.
Should the Suns learn a lesson? You know, it's hard to make that same comparison when you don't have the same players. It's not like they were letting it affect them. They lost players. That's the difference between the Bulls and bad calls. Everybody still was playing. Ben Gordon had a bad hamstring. He came back. He still was playing. The Suns lost 3 players. DL, nope. Stoudemire, nope. Stoudemire was averaging 20-10. We would have won a series, so it wasn't a mental thing. Like, they couldn't get over it.
I'm glad Mike had that baby crying in the background.
Baby crying for what? That's reality, dude. They didn't have players, dog. That's the difference.
Right. But the bottom line is, like, I understand what the email's saying, because we might not have had, Suns might not have three players, but there was a lot of crying going on. And that's I understand. There was a lot of crying going on. That doesn't take away that, but they had a lot of crying going on.
Yeah,
in that
but
series.
If the Bulls didn't have three players, they would have lost. They wouldn't go to game seven. So
and there would probably be a lot of crying there.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's crying and players.
Okay. There's crying. Tears for fears.
Shall let it all out. Just for my peers.
These are the things to let it make. Just for my peers.
That was the Outcast one.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
So, we got another email for basketball, but this one, guys, looks like he doesn't want to let go of what happened a week ago, but we're still going to read it. You guys haven't mentioned that the end of a dynasty is here. The 6-in-a-row conference finals appearances is coming to an end. This season really didn't hurt so bad for me since they got rid of Billup, but they should have at least won two more championships with the team they had. So please say a prayer that I don't have to go another 2 years or 10 years for the Pistons to be relevant. Peace, WC.
Okay, let's bow our heads, Rob. We got to pray for our fans.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Dear Lord.
Dear David.
First of all.
Dear David Stern.
Or Jesus Cristo. I just want to ask you, just Lord, if you could find it in you to help Joe Dumars clear up enough cap space to get Dwayne Wade to come out there in a couple years, I would please do it for WC, because he figures that since everybody has swine flu and everything out there in the world, the most important thing for us to say a prayer about would be that the Pistons would go to another championship. You know what?
Because God forbid that he'd have to wait another 10 years.
No, why would he have to wait another 10 years when Detroit won last, Red Wings won, and then it seems to me that Detroit tends to win a lot of championships. But Lord, I know you know that he needs it more than anybody else, so please send all your blessings to Detroit for WC.
And don't forget the prayers you hear from Kurt Warner too.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Okay, so we did that. We did our job for WC. WC, appreciate that email. So the next email we have, you know, is just a little, it's a little love. You know, we call this a love portion of our email, just for people, because people, we always get emails and we feel like we don't have to read the ones that people give us love.
You know what? This isn't fan appreciation. This is staff appreciation.
It is a staff appreciation right here. So this email says, hey guys, just a quick shout out to show some love for the show. You two always find a way to put only a smile on my face, but many questions that just make you want to say, like your boy Arsenio Hall. Hey, whatever happened to that dude anyway? That is true. I finally had the opportunity to catch up with y'all, and you'll always point topics. You guys are always on point with the topics at hand. Please, please, please keep doing your thing so I continue to have an escape from this crazy world of swine flu, Craigslist killers, and yes, the Taliban, just to name a few. Love you, the coach. So that's funny, though, because...
Wow, so the coach is being affected severely
by the swine flu.
By the swine flu and the Craigslist killer.
Yeah.
And the Taliban.
The Taliban.
Yeah, the Taliban.
What if they're all the same person?
What if they ain't the same person?
No, but what if the Taliban is the one who has a swine flu and they're on Craigslist?
Real bad.
Real bad. You know, and you know where to find them, though, because they'd be under Strictly Plutonic.
I can't believe we just threw a staff appreciation emailer under the bus clowning.
No, I'm just saying that. I'm just thinking about the worst it could be. What if the swine flu killer was a Taliban agent?
Oh, man.
The swine flu Craigslist killer was a Taliban agent. You never know, dog, because I guarantee there might be a press release tomorrow from the Obama administration that they found the swine flu killer was working at Craigslist. And don't ever respond to no stuff from Craigslist. You might get killed by the swine flu
only
Taliban.
When pigs fly. Or when the swine flu. Uh-oh, black president 2009 when pigs fly. I got that text. I didn't write that. I'm not that witty. I don't have that Arsenio in me.
Arsenio was kind of witty.
Where is Arsenio? If someone told
me. No, Arsenio's on Channel 6. I saw him doing a show.
You're lying.
He's doing some kind of reality.
That was Byron Allen.
No. Yeah, the best videos on the internet. He's
doing
a show.
So if somebody told me if Paula Abdul was going to be on the number one TV show, and I didn't, American Idol was the number one TV show. She'd be a host of the number one TV show, and Arsenio Hall can't be found. He's on channel 347.
Right.
In 2009. Would you believe that?
No, I'd probably ask him, tell him, say, listen, straight up now tell me if you're really going to love me forever.
Scat Cat.
No, Why was Scat Cat one of the top three rappers for about 6 months?
Because you were 12.
I'm like, how can Scat Cat rap so good? And he's always dancing around her. Because, you know, that was right around the time of Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah. With your boy Scat Bob Haskins.
So, right? Scat Cat. So, first of all, in 1 year's time, I was in love with a cartoon figure Jessica with an incredible
Rabbit.
Body.
Jessica Rabbit.
And all of a sudden, my favorite rapper was Scat Cat.
Nobody
even on that level.
And he could dance.
Dude, how did he?
I would be like the best dancers in the world are Michael Jackson, Bobby Brown, and Scat Cat.
Nobody talk bad about those Scat Cat. I appreciate that email, Coach. And the next email we have, this is going to be a little email about A-Rod, and this email is,
are you going to act it out?
No, this you know what? This email is about from our producer Mike.
Oh my goodness.
Producer Mike emailed our show.
You know what, man? Can I mention about Mike lately to the crowd, to you, to Mike? Can we have therapy? Mike has been opening up. I think Mike wants to host the show one day. He loves to talk while we're on the show. Right. He's emailing the show. Mm-hmm. If you ever have a producer that's always...
Any artist out there want to be an artist and want to stay a star and don't want to have to worry about the executive producer trying to be...
Always on your YouTube. Come to Typical Sports Show.
but it's Mike, and I think the reason I figured out the reason why Mike emailed the show is because we don't let him get on the mic. So he figured, I'm going to get on. I know they're going to read my email. I know they're going to read.
Why are you reading it? So you went through all the emails and you pulled Mike's out.
The reason why? Because it was pertinent to what I wanted to do.
I'm just confused how Mike readers. This is a coincidence. I didn't filter the emails this week. Rob chose Mike. It might be great though. I haven't read them, so.
Okay, so Mike's email is, a lot of people talk bad about A-Rod and stuff and all the stuff that he did in the back. How come I can't read right now?
I'll try to. Because Mike emailed it.
Okay, that's true.
Because it's mumbling. You're mumbling.
A lot of people talked about A-Rod back in high school using performance enhancing drugs. To me, it's just going to be something that's going to keep coming up until he admits what happened to him, what he did, it when he really started. But either way, it's going to be something that we're never going to hear the end of. And I'm tired of hearing about A-Rod, actually. In fact, I want to get rid of A-Rod. I wish he'd never play in the major leagues again.
Wow, Mike.
And
for real?
It looks like he robbed a produce store.
Man, he don't like
it. Wow. But since, if he don't come out with this Boley, they going to say he had Boley in his baby bottle. Back to the window. When is it going to stop?
And listen, there is a new... could you please give me the music? Because there is a new news release right here. Okay. Thank you very much. News release. This is actually Dateline May 1st to May 1st, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Rumor has it, or this is what they're saying, is that A-Rod's mother... while he was in her belly, she had HGH in one of her breasts, which produced milk that he got used to and had to stay on it. So that's just new information that we just found out right now. Wow. So, and to me, that's about as believable as this story.
That's believable.
That's believable. Yeah. And the reason why it is believable, because if somebody can write a book based upon this, a high school teammate of A-Rod's told Roberts that the future number one draft pick was on steroids as a prep player, and his coach knew it, an allegation that coach Rich Hoffman denied. The book also goes on to say two anonymous Yankees said they believed A-Rod was using banned substances based on visual side effects, and that a clubhouse staffer said management had a suspicion that the third baseman may have been juicing.
Okay, let's get in our time machine. Should I bust out the time machine I've been working on?
Yes.
So we can go back to that time?
Yes. Wait, can we get Huey Lewis playing it, please?
Yeah, we're in because we just created a time machine.
Da-na.
Going back in time.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
A typical Avengers gonna fix the past.
Okay. Wait, go ahead, a typical Avengers.
So, me and Rob are in Puerto Rico. Oh no, is that Yodi? Look at little Yodi.
Hey man, how are you doing?
Hey, little Yodi.
Trouble.
Rob, can you speak Spanish to little Yodi?
Hola, mijo.
Who's that skinny kid over there?
Oh, ¿cómo estás? ¿Cómo te llamas?
My name's A-Rod.
Oh, ¿tú no hablas español?
No, I don't speak that language, man. What do you want, man?
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, what are you doing over there with that syringe? Oh man, this ain't no syringe, man. This is what I'm doing. This vitamin D. How como?
It's for
cuantos años tienes? Oh, man, I'm 12 years old, man. I'm sitting there swinging the bat. Hold on, Miggy, who's that? That's my friend Miguel Tejada. Dang, I thought Miguel. I didn't know Miguel Tejada was from Dominican Republic. Oh, he is. Okay, what's up? Cool, man. Well, I just want to tell you ahead of time. Hey, listen, Yoli, don't hang out with A-Rod around 2007, 2006, because he's going to blow you up. A-Rod, listen, man, don't do any drugs, man. You got natural talent. Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Oh,
man, that's so interesting. You have no accent. All right, where you from? Don't worry about where I'm from, man. All right, then.
Do you hear that song on the radio? This is called Madonna. That's called Borderline. This song's popular now, and she's very popular now, but that doesn't mean she'll still be hot in 2009.
And remind you, she'll be 55, okay? So you might want to go with somebody a little younger and stay married to the woman you're with and take care of your family.
Wow, we got to go, man. Okay, time
bye,
show.
Bye, Aaron.
Bye.
Woo! Later, dude.
A typical Avengers.
Okay, so we back. So anyway, so I'm looking at this. Who else?
How you like time traveling, bro?
Not as good as I thought I would, because first of all, I realized that the same crap goes on back then goes on now. How can somebody just say, I understand A-Rod was done. I'm willing to accept that he's done steroids all his life. I don't care, really. But the fact that people can actually write a book based upon anonymous sources, do you realize how much trouble I would get on if everybody went in my past life and quoted some anonymous sources?
Man, and even anonymous sources that half knew you and had the stories all blurred from 20
years
because ago.
They might have heard it from somebody else. Anonymous sources are
I saw Key at the Wildcat House.
and then they put him in that little room with that light flashing back where they get interrogation room. Did you see Key with? No, my friend told me I saw Key at the Wildcat House.
Yeah.
You know, it's never the first because it's firsthand. And you know what? It's not firsthand. It's always somebody who heard somebody else say it. So that's why these anonymous stories, I understand you're on an email, Mike, about you talking about you hate A-Rod. And there's a portion of you that can dislike this guy. But listen, man, don't get caught up in these anonymous stories. I told you guys a couple months ago, I said, listen, when you get caught with one lie, everybody will come out of the woodwork and there'll be all these stories that come out that you cannot confirm or deny. You know why? Because once you get caught lying every one place, there's going to be a believable story in there somewhere. Somebody's going to believe it because you already got caught lying. That's exactly. Why if this is just him, this is A-Rod, this is chickens coming back to the roost, because A-Rod should have just been honest in the beginning. Since he wasn't, he's going to have to deal with this. This is a repercussion of dishonesty that he's going to have to deal with.
So it's karma.
It's karma, man. It's what he attracted into his life. And unfortunately for him, that's what he's going to have to deal with unless he comes straight forward and kills it. But he won't come straight forward and kill it because he's already too deep now.
I hear you.
So
man,
the last email we have
just is the last one.
Last email, man. And this is about something that's going to be pertinent to what's going on. This is a great email that we got. It's a boxing email.
Oh, let me read this one.
Okay.
Let me read this one.
All right.
All right. Do you think these guys are the answer to getting boxing back into people's minds, conversations, etc.? Do you, Key, agree with the statement that Pacquiao is pound for pound the best boxer in the world? And if so, is it because of his ability? Or are there just not as many quality boxers in the sport as there once was? Would he have beaten De La Hoya the way he did if the fight had taken place when De La Hoya was in his prime? When Pacquiao having the talent he does now? And finally, who you think going to win? Man, he's doing real proper and real just, hey, who you think going to win? Knockout or scoring card? Mike from Scottsdale.
Pacquiao in seven.
Pacquiao's fighting Ricky Hatton this weekend. A lot of people aren't boxing fans, so I feel I have to introduce it.
Do that.
We talked about the 24/7 show where it features Pacquiao, who's being trained right now by Roach, one of the greatest trainers of all time, of most recent history of our era. And on the other side of that coin, we got Ricky Hatton, who's being trained by Floyd Mayweather Sr., who is the father of arguably the real greatest pound-for-pound fighter at this time.
Right.
The fight's on Saturday. Saturday's a day where the typical sports show is hosting a fight night at my house.
Right.
You'll be there.
Yes, I will.
Mike, you'll be there. It's going to start off at the Kentucky Derby. Come down to bleachers. Watch the Kentucky Derby. We're going to watch the ponies, I think, around 2 o'clock. Get back, eat some barbecue, watch the fight. So now that we're talking back on the fight topic, he asked about three, four great questions. First question he asked was, pound for pound the best boxer in the world? Currently, no way. Sorry, no, he's not the best boxer pound for pound.
I agree with that too.
And, the question is, we can't include Floyd Mayweather.
The question, Keek, I don't know where he pulled out But he pulled out, in Mexico they call it a cuaderno. It's a notebook full of papers, and I don't know which one he's going to filter through real quick, but I'm excited.
No, that was old. That was actually, you know what that list was? That was the old Year of the Ox people.
Oh, please don't bring that.
No, I'm not bringing that up. Okay, I just found that. Okay. But right now, I don't think Pacquiao is the best pound for pound fighter.
Who is?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I would say Floyd Mayweather, but I guess you can't count him anymore.
No, you can't.
Paul Williams isn't. Pacquiao has to be up there.
It has to be Pacquiao.
I don't want to say he is, though.
I know, but it would have to be. I mean, it's kind of left over.
I think Shane Mosley could beat him, though.
You're making...
I think Shane Mosley can beat Pacquiao, though. If you can name people that can beat him, how is he the best pound for pound? That's the point I'm trying to make.
So nobody can beat Floyd?
No. Nobody can beat Floyd if Floyd came back. Nobody in his weight class can beat Floyd Mayweather Jr. Our senior, actually.
I would.
And only person that I think could hang with Floyd is Shane Mosley. No, don't say that.
Roy Jones was mellifluous, though.
He was mellifluous. Yeah.
He was
mellifluous.
We're going to work on getting you to pronounce that correctly.
Mellifluous.
There you go.
Mellifluous. It's that LLFL. Yeah, it's mellifluous.
LLFL.
And U-O-U-S.
It's hard to LLIFL.
Yeah.
It's hard to mellifluous.
It's hard to mellifluously say mellifluous.
Ooh, that was mellifluous where you put that.
That was magnificently mellifluous.
Man, mellifluous scares me because it sounds real close to syphilis.
It sounds like melon farmer. It sounds like a word you would hear on TNT when they're watching Scarface.
Or when Samuel Jackson's talking.
Take that, you mellifluous.
Or unless some Samuel Jackson's talking.
Yeah.
Will somebody get these melon farmer snakes off this plane?
And I think the second part of Mike's, from Scottsdale's question was, is it because of his ability, or are there just as many quality boxers in a sport as there once was? Obviously, there's not as many quality boxers as there once was. I mean, back then we would have had Hagler, Hearns, John DeBeast.
Not even naming those. There's silly.
Yeah,
those are
saying,
just the top ones. There was even way better.
The competition. The thirst.
It was deep.
They were hungry.
No, yeah, there was one.
There wasn't an NFL that got these people out. You know, the NFL, there's so many heavyweight champions in the NFL right now, it ain't even funny.
But Alonzo Highsmith was a great fighter. I don't know why I want to bring him up. He was thirsty, but for the wrong thing. Hey,
and do you think Pacquiao would have beat De La Hoya in his prime? I'll ask you that question.
I have no idea. I'd have to say they would be a good fight. I mean, I saw Pacquiao and Morales go at it. Pacquiao proved to me, I mean, Pacquiao, the thing about it is Pacquiao ain't in his prime right now. He's out of his prime. He's not in his prime. 6, 7, 8 fights ago, he was in his prime. When his first with price with Morales.
You know, even when he was in his prime, he would lose, though. That's what's so weird about him.
He lost to Eric Morales, though, dog. Do you realize how Morales dominated the sport? Morales is the man. And Morales was, that's what made Pacquiao was those Morales fights. I mean, they would fight. I don't think De La Hoya has been in brawling matches like that.
I think what makes Pacquiao suspect isn't his losses. It's some of his draws. Marquez. He had that draw with Marquez, which was controversial. Yeah. And you know what's so funny about this story? I can almost believe that. Remember that year we went to Vegas and Marquez was downstairs and he ran into Pacquiao and Pacquiao hit him in the chest?
Yeah, and he said, oh, I thought you were somebody else.
I thought you was Juan Marquez.
Oh, I thought you was Morales. Morales.
I thought you was Juan Manuel Marquez. Oh, no, I'm John Marquez.
Oh, sorry. I thought you was somebody else.
Thought you was somebody else. What up, yo? You coming to the fight party?
Girl. Okay, yo. All right. See you there, man. So what was you saying now?
No, I was saying some of the draws he had, like as far as...
What were the other draws?
I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head, yeah.
But I just don't... I mean, Pacquiao... Okay, so the third part... Pacquiao is a great fighter. Okay, next. What was the third part of the email? The last question. He said, what do we think is going to win? Oh, he said, who's going to win and what?
Yeah. That's
okay, what do you got? What you got?
I think
I got Pacquiao knockout in 7th, TKO.
I think we're underlooking Haddon. I think Haddon is being exposed because he lost to Mayweather. Underlooking. It's not overlooking. We're underlooking him. So there's a difference.
I don't like the way you just put those words together. So underlooking him?
Yeah, we're underlooking him.
Oh, underlooking him.
Yeah. Whew. I didn't say that mellifluously.
No, you said that retardedly.
Oh, did I pick it up?
Beep. Okay, man. So my fault. They do. Okay, you know what?
Tropic Thunder, Rob.
Tropic Thunder, Rob.
You ain't gotta go all Rob on us.
Hey, you know,
you went full Rob on us.
Man, I'm 100% legit, man. You know what I'm saying?
He went full Rob on us.
You know you ain't never won. You know they ain't never been no Academy Award given out when you go full retard, man.
Dude, come
Isn't
on,
Isn't that
man.
What he said in the movie?
Man, wait, dude. You know why I'm so mad right why, now? No, you saying all these comments. I can't ever tell my Donovan McNabb story.
You know what? Listen. Okay. Mellifluously, you can. But let me tell you something. That's what they said in the movie, though.
Yes, and I didn't say it. Nobody said anything in the Donovan McNabb story.
Tell your Donovan McNabb story.
I'm not saying it right now.
No, I want to hear your Donovan McNabb story. Tell Donovan. Okay, you gonna save it?
I'm not feeling it right now.
Okay, you're not feeling. Okay, don't feel. I don't want to make something out of nothing. So anyway, so what you saying?
Actually, do we have it on tape somewhere? Play the Donovan McNabb story.
No, don't play it right now. But I'd rather have you tell it live, dog. I want you to tell it live.
What's the difference?
Because this is coming.
What's the difference?
No, this. I want to hear it live because I don't want to have that right there. But listen, I want to talk to you. But I want to finish this. We didn't finish the point about the boxing. Who did you say is going to win in what round? That's what I wanted to finish that, and then we can go to the next.
Obviously, I don't know. I'm dejected right now. I don't know who's going to win the fight. Who's even fighting?
Me and you?
Yeah. I don't know, round four, I hit you with a right hook? Yeah.
Okay, I call it
the Speaking of right hooks, the left hooks, have you seen that Muhammad Ali Manila?
Thriller Manila?
The documentary.
Yeah, definitely.
It just came out a week ago. The one where they show old Joe Frazier, like he's old living in the upstairs of his training.
Oh, no.
It just came out on HBO.
But there was another one that was through that they did a documentary on HBO about Thrill Manila and all the stuff was going on then.
Actually, they did the Rumble in the Jungle one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
The one where it was in Africa?
Yeah.
Okay, that was
Yeah, this is the one that Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali 3.
Yeah.
After watching that, and every time I watch the Ali show, I always leave it like, I hate Ali. I don't like Ali. He was such a jerk. And then, like, months past, I catch him at the Suns game. I'm like, oh, look at Ali, the greatest. And then I watch another Thriller in Manila documentary. And like, man, he was a jerk.
Right, but when you, it's hard to think somebody's a jerk when he over there is looking real.
And speaking of karma, Joe Louis said that. Yeah, all everything that happened.
Joe Frazier.
Joe Louis. Joe Louis said it.
He beamed Joe Louis.
Joe Frazier has so much hate for Ali. If you call him on his cell phone right now, he says, hey, this is Smoking Joe Frazier. And you calling the one that took the butterfly out of the flower and took the sting out of the bee. You know who it is. Beep. He's still talking about this in 2009.
You know what, man?
And remember when he said he gonna push him when he was lighting the torch? Throw him in the flames.
Man, let me tell you something, man. People that say sticks and stones don't break my heart, but words never hurt you.
Ali's words will hurt you.
No, people's words hurt you.
Ali's words will murder you.
Man, that took his spirit away, man. Because you know what? There's nothing worse. That's why there's nothing worse than being attacked by black on black crime.
Hmm. And you're using those words.
The same Uncle words that you Tom's, hear. The same words you hear.
Gorillas. And he had the backup
right.
saying, yeah, you Uncle Tom, yeah, the white man wanted you to win, Joe Frazier. That's why right. you won the first one.
Right.
And you watched the first one in Madison Square Garden, the first Ali Frazier.
Yeah.
Frazier won.
Right.
But Ali kept talking over and over.
Right.
He made all of us believe that I beat Frazier.
Right.
And we thought he beat him Frazier. And we thought the white judges cheated for Frazier.
Right.
Because he didn't want to go to the war.
Right.
See, the whole thing about Ali is, if you think Chad Johnson and all of these guys who speak their mind in 2008, 2009, Ali was times 10 the
right.
way he talked trash,
right.
the way how flamboyant he was,
right.
the way he told y'all to kiss his mellifluous, you know what.
Right.
I watched it. I just said, this guy's a jerk.
Right.
This guy was so bold. He took his mistress
right.
to the Philippines and met the Marcoses.
Right.
And the Marcos, what's it, Imelda Marcos shoe lady looked
right.
at her and said, your wife is lovely. And he said, no, my girlfriend, your wife looks better than my girlfriend. And his wife saw this and flew over and gave it to him, you know, like, hey, what's going on? She was upset. See, that was back in the day where he didn't think she could see the video.
Man, he was so mad when he started thinking, hey, you got cool stuff?
Yeah, I thought, hey, how'd you get this? This was just a press conference.
Man.
How did you see this? Did you go to the movie theater where they had the Wild World of Sports? Like, that's the only time you see clips like
right.
that before the movie, Wild World of Sports. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Muhammad Ali.
He said, da-da-da-da-da. What's the Wild World of Sports?
That's the little typewriter.
Okay.
And then they would show the clips before the movies. Our 60 Minutes would always show something like that. Come on, Rob.
And So, man, Muhammad Ali had me hating him too.
And I'm glad you admitted that.
No, it really did. When I watched that, I really felt like Joe was like, dang, dude, we was, because Joe felt in the beginning that they was cool. Mm-hmm. Like they were cool. It's so much like Biggie and Tupac.
It is. That's why I wanted to bring this back up.
It's so crazy.
Matter of fact, because they were cool enough to the level when Ali couldn't fight because he was suspended. Frazier wanted to bring him back to, you know, hey, let's have our championship bout. They said Butch Lewis was sitting in the middle of the back of a limo. Ali came in. They were talking, hey, champ. Oh, what's up, champ?
And then
they said Frazier gave some money to...
Gave him money.
Put it in his pocket.
Right.
Get yourself tight. Because he was broke. I mean, he wasn't broke. Right, but he wasn't, you know.
And he gave him money, dog. He gave Muhammad Ali money. And then after all that, he felt like, man, this man did this. And not only did he embarrass him, but he did it in front of the world. And he had a gorilla.
A gorilla doll. And he brought in a gorilla, like the gorillas from Trading Places. Right. Like when you come in those monkey suits.
Yeah.
He had one of them coming to the ring. And to top it all off, why I can't forgive Ali... Ali had the nerve to call Marvin Frazier. Remember Marvin Frazier?
Right.
He was a little boy. But he said, come here. He said, Butch, bring over Marvin. Marvin came in and said, you know what? I want to apologize to you, your family, and tell your dad I'm sorry. So Frazier said, hey, dad, you know, hey, Pop, Ali apologize. He said, oh, yeah? Well, why couldn't he say it to me in my face? He doing it in front of you, in front of all these people. Right. He can't do it to me.
Right.
He'll never forgive him. Frazier will never forgive him. And I don't know if it's righteously he shouldn't forgive him. But I can tell you this. When he looks at Ali and he can't speak, they say he breaks out in a weird smile. Satisfaction. He says, I did that. They said he even says that. I did that to him. Because you watch those fights. Those guys fought, I think, 41 rounds in three fights. Incredible.
Right.
And if you watch those fights, Ali's jaw was busted.
Yeah, he broke his jaw one.
They stopped the 15th round in Manila, Philippines. But Ali, it was the 14th round. Ali was blasting Joe Frazier to the point that Joe Frazier's trainer said he can't go out there. Right. I've been in the ring. I've seen 8 people die on my watch that I've been in the arena at. I'm not letting this happen.
Uh-huh.
Little do they know. Ali was staying. He wasn't coming out. And they came out and he collapsed.
Right. Right. And he wasn't going to come out.
He wasn't going to come out.
And so I look at that like, what? This is a perfect example. If I can tie just my experience in life is like what I believe that I know. Ali got what happened to him because everybody gets what happens to them no matter they make choices. And Joe Frazier thinks that he got him, but actually he's the one who's probably suffered more than Ali, which is very interesting that he says. Because
he couldn't forgive him ever.
And that's what he had to live with. That anger and bitterness that you live with, that's your death. He's broke right now, isn't he? He's probably dealing with situations.
He's probably
dealing with situations because of that anger. That actually inhibited his growth of as a human being, because when you're so angry like that, and not saying that it's a right or wrong thing, because it's not a right or wrong thing, it's anger. It's just a result of what you get from being that angry. That's what he gave himself.
Resentment.
The resentment and anger can build, that builds cancer. That builds all of that stuff. Builds all of that
sickness.
Sickness. It's a sick thing that eats up your brain and your body. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he feels a sense of satisfaction that he did that to Ali. But you know what? Ali suffering in his own way, and Joe Frazier suffering in his own way. They're both going to grave suffering bad.
And you know, we can't judge Ali's suffering because we don't know what's up there in his mind.
Right.
We don't know what kind of happy thoughts he still may have or go through. He just can't express them.
Right.
But you can see Joe Frazier's expressions and his thoughts, and you can see how he lives.
Right.
You know, when somebody, I'm not saying he's broke, but if you go to the video, the documentary, went to his house and they went to he lives on top of the gym that he trains people at. And when you have that exposed pipes and you got those old gas standalone stoves, like nothing looked like everything was at least 30 years old, yellow stuff, you know, yellow cabinets with the yellow vinyl cabinet countertops.
Right.
That's how he living. Like this old school Philadelphia with a one standing room building with nothing, just fields on the side.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's sad in the fact because what you talked about, I love those points, but it's also sad with legacy. Even if he was living and he was still a legend like he should be, I think he would feel a little better about himself. Because if anybody asked me the top 5 boxers in the world history of boxing, that same question that was presented to us from Mike DeScottsdale. And if he opened it up and said, what's the five best boxers pound for pound in the history of boxing? We wouldn't say Joe Frazier. But why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we?
He should get the respect after watching those fights. And why he wouldn't is George Foreman beat embarrassed his behind. Him. Yeah. That's the reason why.
If he didn't embarrass him, he would have got the respect. But it's like he started out being broke in Philadelphia, and that's where he ends up.
Yep.
And everything in between, really, what does it matter?
And we can't judge that man's happiness.
No, you can't
judge his sadness.
But I can't judge a man's happiness or sadness. I can only look at the results that he has in his life.
But guess what? We can talk about it. And we can philosophize. Right. And that's what the typical sports show tries to bring to us, you listeners, me and Rob. We just talking. Y'all just happen to be in this conversation right now.
Okay, and so since we are talking, I want to finish this up, this last segment.
Yeah. And I
want to finish this segment up because I'm really excited about this, because what the Atypical Sports Show wants to do is take it worldwide. We want to do our thing, me and Key, and have more listeners and people listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, you get sponsors. So we have our first, go ahead, Key.
Go ahead. Yeah, we got our first mini, what we call those, the mini sliders. Mini Sirloin News. My mini news is this weekend we're hosting our first barbecue for the fight. Speaking of boxing, the whole crew is going to be here. We're going to have some poker. We're going to have some games. We're going to have some interactive activities. You know who you are, who's invited. We're going to barbecue. This is going to be a fun time. We're going to take photographs, YouTubes. So we're going to welcome you to our world and some of our close friends who've been supporting us from day one. This is the fan appreciation, and we're going to do it a typical sports style with the fight night.
So the announcement that I was talking about at the beginning that I wanted to share with you guys was that the Atypical Sports Show now has our first sponsor, which is Vima.
Drum roll, please.
Yes. So the Atypical Sports Show has a sponsor, which is Vima.com. It's the world's most powerful liquid antioxidant. And so from now on, you just know. When a typical sports show's on, we're sponsored by Vima, which is going to allow our show to keep going, go do new things and reach new heights. That's what we're looking at now.
Please check out the opportunities and the benefits of Vima. Be great as a listener. Be great for the show. Be great for everybody.
Everybody. Because it's like I said before. You can't get anywhere being the same way where you're at. We're trying to move forward with the show, and I feel like we're taking steps to do that, and I'm excited about it. Having this partnership with Vima lends a lot of credibility to our show, as well as a great product that's out there, and it lends to our show actually going to bigger and better things.
And we'll have features, word of the days with sponsors coming up and linearly speaking, as far as how time is progressing, we'll get in the time machine and get in the future 2 months from now.
Right.
We got a special event.
Right.
And this event that's happening this weekend is just a baby step of how we're trying to produce and get people together, because we're going to be hosting a whole. Go ahead, Rob.
A hole at the
a golf tournament.
At a golf tournament for
Chuck. And we're going to be broadcasting live,
streaming live on June 28th. We're going to have a golf tournament and be doing it with State Farm. Chuck Kelly from State Farm Insurance is this a benefit for kids, and it's going to be something special. We'll be telling you a little bit more about
and
that.
And the Phoenix Public Library.
Yeah, we'll be telling you a little bit more. We'll give you, it's kind of a little a drop for you right now, but we'll be giving you a little bit more. But just want to keep in mind, though, Vima, sponsor Atypical Sports Show, sponsored by Vima, the world's most powerful liquid antioxidant. Thank you very much again for listening to our show. Thanks for being a part of the emails. Continue to email. We love the way the show is going. We love the interaction. And we're sending a shout out, nothing but love, to all our typical sports show listeners. We'll talk to you next week. Peace. We out.